But anyway, this is the very beginning of 40 days of radical faith. I'm really glad you guys are here. Now, I understand people that say, I don't have faith. I don't have any room for faith. I don't believe. I have to see it with my eyes. Well, I want to actually take exception to that because people live by faith every single day. They just don't realize it. For example, if you are a person that says, I don't believe anything on faith, I have to see it with my eyes, why don't you have an oxygen tank? Because obviously you have faith that there is oxygen in this room. For you to take your next breath, you have faith there's oxygen. Obviously you have faith in the builders of this building because you're sitting under a roof that could collapse and kill you. You have faith in the builders. You have faith in the designers of these chairs because you're sitting in them and you have faith that they were well made and that they're not going to crash down. You have faith in your auto manufacturers. You have faith that when you get into your car and you turn on the ignition, it's not going to blow up. You have faith that the brakes work. You have faith that all the drivers on Nicholsville Road are fantastic drivers. And those of you that are UK fans, football fans, I don't know what you have faith in. But anyway, we have faith that Florida beats us every year. You know, that is exactly what we have faith in. But guys, people live by faith all the time. So it's not a question of having faith. It's a question of what do you have faith in, okay? And that is the basis of this entire 40-day study. It's my contention that religion in America is booming. It's booming. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there were no mega churches. There were no huge congregations. There was no mission work. There was nothing of that going on. Religion is booming, but faith is dying. I believe that. And we're going to tackle why religion is booming, but faith is dying. We're going to talk about that in the next 40 days. I want to encourage you guys not to miss any Sundays the next 6 weeks as we discuss these things because it is life or death. This series is a game changer. Okay, so let's just plunge right in. Today we're talking about faith when you have a past. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect, and there are things in my past that I am very, very ashamed of. I don't know about you guys. You guys may have always lived a perfect life, but I doubt it. So most of us in here have things in our past, mistakes, labels, whatever that has been leveled towards us that we are ashamed of and that can hold us back. Every one of us does, okay? There was a guy in the Bible named Moses who was the exact same way. Now, Moses, I'm going to give you a little bit of a brief history. Moses was a Hebrew. He was living in Egypt during the time when the Hebrews were slaves. Okay, Pharaoh issued an order that all boys under age 2 are to be killed because they were getting too numerous. I'm not going to tell you all the details, but Moses wound up being spared by that. He was raised in Pharaoh's household as a prince, an heir to the throne, a prince. Well, as he grew up, one day he saw a Hebrew getting beat by an Egyptian, and he looked around. There's nobody looking, so he killed the Egyptian, hid his body in the sand. Well, the next day, somebody pointed out, say, hey, there's Moses. He's a murderer. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh said, he's a murderer. Go, arrest him. So Moses flees to a country named Midian. So in Egypt, he's known as a murderer. There's an arrest warrant out for him. There's a death warrant out for him. He lives in Midian for 40 years, tending sheep. And all of a sudden, after 40 years, the Lord approaches him in a burning bush. You guys heard the story. The bush was on fire but didn't burn up. And God says, Moses, I want you to go lead my people out of slavery. I want you to go back to Egypt, back to the place where you're known as a murderer, and lead my people out. Now, let's say that you kill someone here in the United States and you flee to, say, Switzerland or someplace like that. God approaches you and says, hey, I want you to go back to the United States, and I want you to preach, be a public figure. I want you to do this. First thing's going to happen, the second you set foot on American soil, you're going to get arrested. So that didn't really appeal to Moses very much. So he had a choice to make. Do I step out in faith and do what God says, or do I let my past dictate my actions? That's the question. And that's the question that is going to be asked of you this morning. Do I step out in faith and do what God has told me to do, or do I let my past dictate my actions? See, guys, I've found this out. Now, when you have mistakes in your past, like we all do, and you, let's say that you are living, living an extremely non-Christian lifestyle, extremely, wild party, whatever, and you come to Christ, there are two very, very wrong responses to our past. The first one, you guys write this down, is legalism. Okay? Legalism basically means, okay, I have screwed up, and so I come to Christ, and I'm just going to do everything right. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Here's my checklist of things that I'm going to do to make God love me. I'm going to, you know, make sure I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do. I am going to do this, and here's my checklist. I'm going to do everything right. Okay? Well, the church in Galatia had this problem. And in the book of Galatians, Paul writes to them. He says this, I do not set aside the grace of God. This is in Galatians 2, 21 through 3, 5. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Let me explain that. Basically, if you could earn God's favor by being good enough, then Jesus' death on the cross was not necessary. He died for nothing. He goes on, you foolish Galatians. Let's just put in Catalystians. You foolish Catalystians. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, in other words, by doing good things, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing as if it was for nothing? Verse 5, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? In other words, Paul is saying, guys, you have been redeemed. You have been saved. Why are you trying to basically impress God by being a good person? Guys, when my very first mission trip, we were going down to Pascagoula to do mission work. And our mission agency gave us an intern. He was a young guy, and he was from Bible college. And when I heard he was from Bible college, I just kind of rolled my eyes. Oh, no, great. And my worst fears were confirmed, because when he got in the car, he started telling us his story, and he started telling us how he had basically screwed his life up on drugs and was basically just a wild child. And he had come to Christ, and all of a sudden, he was God's apostle. Okay, and over the course of the next 30 minutes, as we were discussing the Bible and discussing things, he grew more and more frustrated with me because I didn't have the right answers. I happen to believe that you know, it's okay to wear jeans in church and to worship with guitars, and that was against the gospel, and so I was condemned as a heretic and as a false teacher, a false prophet, and I was going to hell. That was our conversation. This was the beginning of the week, so you can imagine how bad that was. This guy, I said, okay, this guy has screwed up so much, and he has gone full circle, and he's trying to impress God by doing everything right. I said, how miserable this guy must be, because that's not pleasing to God at all. That's on one end of the continuum. That's a wrong response to our past, to embrace legalism, okay? The other end of the spectrum is simply what we call cheap grace. This is a wrong response to our past. This is the cheap grace basically says, okay, I've screwed up so much, but God loves me, and grace, 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 grace. I'm not going to change a thing. There's no such thing as sin, no such thing as life change. I'm not going to change who I am. God just loves me, and he's going to forgive me. So I'm just going to go out and make a mess of myself, but God will forgive me. God loves me. Grace, 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 grace. That is an inappropriate response to the gospel too. Listen to what Jude 1:4 says. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Okay? So basically what cheap grace says is it says, hey, there's no confession, there's no repentance, there's no life change that God desires out of you. We don't judge you, we don't do anything, just go do whatever you want. God loves you so very much. That's one end is legalism, the other end is cheap grace. And cheap grace basically says, you know what, there's sin in my life, so I can do one of two things. One, I can change, or two, I can just say that's not a sin. So I can just determine what is right for me and not live by what God has to say. And if anyone calls me out, they're judging me, and judging is wrong. And therefore, I just don't want to hear it. That's the cheap grace side. The legalistic side is I'm going to do everything right to try to impress God. And the reason I say this is because all American churches tend towards one or the two. We know about the legalistic churches that say, you know, women have to dress this certain way, and you can't do this, you can't do this. Those are the legalistic churches. And we also know the cheap grace churches that basically says anything goes. God loves you. It doesn't matter if you're an axe murderer. Go ahead and murder your next victims, because God loves you too. Okay, those are the two extremes, and churches tend to one or the others. Also, Christians tend towards one of those one of those extremes, the legalism or the cheap grace. So guys, if those are the wrong responses to our past, basically to try to do everything right and be a great person to impress God, or to basically say, okay, well, I have a past, but you know, it's no big deal. There's no such thing as sin. I'm just going to go in the love of God. If those are the wrong responses to our past, what is the right response to our past? How do we really and truly have faith when we have a past? Well, the answer is this, and it is awesome. It's simply called the gospel. The gospel is the answer to our past. Okay? The gospel, I'm sure you've heard of gospel, and it's not music. The gospel. And this is how it breaks down. There's good news, there's bad news, and there's good news. Okay, anybody ask you, hey, what is the gospel? Say, hey, there's good news, bad news, and good news. Here's the good news. Genesis 1, 26 to 27. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. You were made in the image of God, and God does not make junk, okay? You were created. You were put together. There are over 75 billion, a trillion cells in your body, all, every cell having a 2 billion base strand of DNA that would be 6 feet long, specific instructions, how you would look, what you would look like, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, the color of your skin, everything. God's painstakingly designed you to be you, and God does not make junk. That is great news. Some of us need to hear that this morning. God does not make junk. That's the good news. But there's bad news. The bad news is this, is that you and I have taken that amazing gift and we've walked away from God. We have committed sin. We have basically put up a brick wall between us and God and said, God, we don't want you. We're going to do things our way. Those things are called sin. And because of that, we have become criminals. We have become lawbreakers. And guys, I hate to say it, but we are all under God's judgment. We are because of that. Okay? The good news is we were created in the image of God and God didn't make junk. The bad news is you and I are criminals. We're lawbreakers. None of us is innocent. And because of that, every one of us is basically our future at this point is hell. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:3 says this, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. God, but guys, the good news, remember there's good news, there's bad news, and there's good news. The good news is that Jesus saw that. It was unacceptable to him. And he came here and he lived among us. He taught us. He died on a cross and he rose from the grave on the third day so that you and I could be reconciled back to God. That is the gospel. There's good news, there's bad news, and there's good news. Guys, Romans 7, 22 through 82 says this. Just listen to this word. Listen to these words and hear them maybe for the very first time. Paul's writing, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Guys, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why the gospel is called good news. And that is the answer to our past. That is the answer to our past. That we embrace this glorious gospel. We don't go legalistic. We don't emphasize cheap grace and say there's no such thing as sin. No, we embrace this amazing gospel that God has given us, that there's good news, there's bad news, and that there's good news. Guys, revival happens when we awaken to the truth of that statement that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Guys, I remember the first time I really awoke to that truth. I'm not talking about hearing it. I'm talking about awakening to that truth. Have you ever awakened to that truth? I remember the waves of joy that flowed over me, just like waves in an ocean just hitting me over and over and over again when I awoke to the fact that all of my sins, all of my past is gone because of the gospel. Not because of doing things right, not because I said there's no such thing as sin, but because God loved me and died for me and took my sins away. I remember the joy of that. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, said this. said this, "Oh, beloved, do you delight in Jesus Christ? Is he your salvation and all your desire? Do you adore him? Do you consecrate yourself in his honor? Do you wish to live and die for him? Then be sure you belong to him, for it is the mark of the children of God that they love God in Christ Jesus." And I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to ask you, have you accepted him? Do you believe in him? I'm going to ask, have you awoken to the truth of the gospel and therefore adore him and delight in him? Guys, that is the truth of the gospel, and that is the answer to our past. That's the answer to our past. But guys, we have a response to make. We have a response to make. So what do we do when confronted with this amazing truth? What do we do? How do we respond to this gospel? Do we sit here and say, that sounds amazing, and then go out unchanged? Well, let me ask you, first, our response. We can have acceptance or rejection. Acceptance or rejection. Okay? Guys, I don't care if you've been in church all of your life. Today, you have to decide about this glorious gospel. Do you accept it or do you reject it? There, guys, we have got to make a response. It's either or. We either accept it today or we reject it today. Many years ago, when Jesus was standing in front next to Pontius Pilate in front of the crowd, he said this in Mark 15, 12. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" He says, "What do you want me to do with him?" And guys, the same question is being asked today. What do we do with this gospel? We can accept it or reject it. Guys, Moses had a choice. He was out there in the wilderness. He was a prince. I want you to imagine this. He's a prince raised to be a king, but he's tending sheep in the desert. And God said, "Moses, I want you to go back and I want you to lead my people out of slavery." Moses had a choice. Do I accept God's call or do I reject it? Because accepting God's call is going to cost me. I'm going to go back to the place where they know me as a murderer, where there's an arrest warrant, where there's a death warrant out for me, and I'm going to have to march right in there and tell them, "Let my people go." Do I accept this calling? Or do I reject it? See, guys, God was calling him to his place in this world, calling him out of complacency, calling him out of hiding, calling him out of the place where it was safe, calling him out of the place where it was familiar, and going into unknown territory where there may be danger. And guys, the same thing is happening today. God is calling you out of complacency, out of where it's comfortable, out of where everything is familiar and safe, into a place where there may be danger. You accept this gospel of Jesus Christ, your life gets a lot more risky. Believe me. It's a lot easier to reject it. It is. Guys, Moses was faced with a question, just like you guys are faced with a question today. Do I let my past determine my future? Do I let my past determine my future? Do I let the things and the mistakes and everything in my past determine what I do in the future? Well, guys, because of this glorious gospel, and you'll have to excuse me, because I'm going to use this word as a place, not as a curse word. I'm going to use it as a place. But because of the gospel, because of the acceptance of this amazing gospel, you can say, to hell with my past, to hell with my mistakes, to hell with every label that everybody has given me. Okay, I use that as a place, not as a curse word. Literally, to hell with my mistakes, to hell with my past. I have been set free by Jesus Christ, and my past will not determine my future because I am a new creation. And that right there, guys, you can say amen. Okay, if you believe that, you can say amen. Guys, the question is, our response, do we accept this gospel or do we reject it? And there have been people sitting in church for 50 years who have rejected the gospel all their lives. The second thing, acceptance or rejection is the first. The second thing is repentance or resistance. Repentance or resistance. Romans 2:4 says this, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" I want you guys to write something down. I'm going to say something because it's very true. I want you to write this down. We are all in the process of resisting God's truth or being shaped by God's truth. Write that down. We are all, every one of us, in the process of resisting God's truth or being shaped by God's truth. Remember, Jesus has always worked by the spiritual power of his servants. Nothing comes out of a man that is not first in him. You will not find God's servants doing great things for him unless God works mightily in them. You must first be filled with the power from on high. Catalyst, we need our church members to be better men and better women. Baby Christians, we need baby Christians to become grown-up Christians. And we need grown-up Christians to become men and women filled with the power and be strong in the Lord and be filled with his mighty power. That's what we need. But all of us right now are either resisting God's truth or we are being shaped by God's truth. Which are you? When confronted with this gospel, are you being shaped by it or are you resisting it? See, guys, Moses, by God calling him here, Moses had to go back to his past. Moses was called back to Egypt. He had to go back and face it. And guys, repentance calls us to the same thing. Calls us to face our past, calls us to own up to it, to face up and repent. And you said, now, wait a second, Dave, you just said, you know, to hell with my past. Why are you going to make me look at it? This is simply why. To make sure that the past stays the past and doesn't become the present. See, guys, the problem with a lot of Christians, myself included, is that our past, because it's never really repented from, it's never really changed, continues to become my present. I know Christians, myself included, that have struggled with the same sin for 20, 30 years because we have never really repented from it. Never really said, you know, Lord, forgive us. I repent. This is wrong. I help change me. We never repented, so our past continues to become our present. And as long as your past continues to become your present, you will never, ever step out in faith and have faith when you have a past. Guys, our response, we can accept or reject this gospel, this story. We can either exercise repentance or resistance. And three, we can either embrace freedom or slavery. This is our response, freedom or slavery. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. God is saying, listen, I have freed you. The gospel is freeing. Your past is gone. Everything. Don't go back into slavery by the same things. Guys, where did Moses' path into his past take him? To the promised land. He was leading people out of slavery into the promised land. Freedom. He didn't choose slavery. He chose freedom. Guys, that means freedom to step out in faith or not. Freedom's a dangerous thing. Churches don't like to talk about freedom because freedom, basically, if you are set free in Christ, you are free to accept him or reject him. You are free to embrace him or walk away from him. You are free to follow him or walk away. That's what freedom is. That's what freedom means, that you have a choice. But guys, I grew up thinking that I wasn't all that important to God's will. I really did. What I was taught as a young person was, you know what? You're not all that important to God's will. If God doesn't get done through you, he'll get it done through someone else. I grew up with this image that I was maybe one in a million of people lined up to do God's will. And God says, hey, I want you to go do this. And that's not for me. He just move on to the next person and they get it done. I used to believe that. I used to believe I was not important to God's will. I was not important to God's kingdom. That if I didn't do it, someone else would. I don't believe that anymore. I really don't. I don't believe that there's a bunch of people lined up. If I don't do it, God will move on to the next person. I believe if God calls me to do something and I don't do it, it doesn't get done. Plain and simple. I believe there are hungry people in this world, just as you do. Not because there's not enough food, not because we can't provide, but simply because people haven't stepped up to the call to feed them. And it's not getting done. There are people who say, oh, you know what, God, I really don't want to feed that. I don't want to feed that person. I don't want to take my time. I don't want to take my resources to do that. Just move on to someone else. They'll do it. No, it's not going to happen. I used to believe that someone else would do it. I believe there are unconverted people in this world, not because they don't that the gospel's not attractive to them, that they don't want to embrace God, they don't want to embrace Jesus Christ, but simply because Christians have not stepped up to the call and gone in faith and done what God wants them to do. I believe there are lost nations. There are nations out there in this world that do not have the gospel, not because they wouldn't embrace the gospel, not because revival wouldn't set out if they heard the gospel, but simply because Christians are waiting for someone else to go do it and not answering the call. I believe there are broken families in this world, in this nation, maybe in our neighborhoods, not because reconciliation isn't there, not because the people don't want to be together, but simply because no one has taken the first step that God has called them to do. And they're waiting for someone else to do it. Guys, I used to believe I wasn't important to God's will. I don't believe that anymore. And when God calls you to do something, it is a unique calling to you. That's why we have to embrace this gospel and embrace faith when we have a past. Guys, 20 years ago, November 16th, I had the opportunity to play in state championship soccer. And my team was ranked 8th in the state. We were playing the number one team in the state. It was ranked 14th in the nation. They were a phenomenal soccer team, male high school out of Louisville. And they had beaten us 3 weeks before, 1-0 in overtime. They were a good team. And the odds were against us. We were probably about a 3 or 4 goal underdog. And the day of the game, my dad said to this, right before I left for the field, my dad told me this. He goes, "You might win, you might lose." He says, "But if you play badly and you come to the end of the game, you don't give it your all, you're going to come to the end of that game and you're going to say, 'Man, I could have played so much better. I could have done more.'" Say, you don't want that. You don't want to come to the end of this game and say, "You know what, if I would have just worked a little harder, I would have prevented some goals. Or if I would have just gave a little bit more effort, my team would have won. Or if I would have just. And guys, that is so true. You, when that final whistle sounds, he said, you want to just drop to the ground in exhaustion and say, "You know what, no matter what the score is, I gave it my all. I left it all on the field." That's what you want to be able to say when that final whistle sounds, Dave. And guys, that is so true, and it is so true in life too. You don't want to come to the end of your life, people, and say, "You know what, there's so many things that God called me to do, and I just didn't do them." You don't want to come to the end of your life and say, "You know, there were so many people that God called me to love, and I just didn't do it." You don't want to come to the end of your life and look back and see nothing but regret. You don't want to do that, people. Believe me, you don't want to. You want to come to the end of your life, and when God calls you home, to stand up in front of him and say, "You know what, God? I left it all on the field. I got nothing left. I did everything you called me to do. I love the people that you called me to love. I stepped out and I got beat up and I got bruised, but I did what you told me to do. God, I am all used up. I got nothing left, and here I am. That's what you guys want to be able to say at the end of your life. And that only happens when we accept this amazing gospel, say, to hell with my mistakes, with my past. I am moving forward because I am a new creation in Christ under orders from my beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this amazing gospel. And I thank you, Lord, that because of you, not because of us, because of you.